Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we take a look at the first letter of John, chapter 4, beginning with verse 19, and then it goes through chapter 5, verse 4. So, it's the fourth chapter, first letter of John. I'm repeating these because I'm hoping that more and more of you have a Bible in your hand. I know you can do it on a smartphone, and if that's all you can do, that's fine. But I think it's important to hold the living Word of God in your hands, the living Word that has a beating heart. And yes, it can come through a smartphone too. But I think there's just tremendous power in actually holding that Word and knowing that God's heart is beating in that Word. That's how living it is. That's how real it is. God's word is true, is real. So I hope you have a Bible in your hand, but the second best is the smartphone, if you can. We want to look at this first reading of John. Beloved, we love God because he first loved us. He loved you, brothers and sisters, before you had done anything for him. His love is greater than what you do or what you don't do. He sorrowed. He's in deep sorrow by our refusal to follow him, but he loves us. He loves us. I think we need to get that into our heads and into our hearts, that we are infinitely loved. We are given free will. We can choose to accept or reject it. If you accept it, you will know more and more what a God of love really is and how loved you are. Even in the midst of tragedies in life and heavy, heavy crosses in life, you will know, you will understand more deeply the love God has for you, and that love sustains you through everything. So open your hearts to know it more. Beloved, we love God because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. Now, that couldn't be any stronger, and it's not hyperbole, it's reality. That's reality. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar, because God is in your brother and sister. God is in the people all around you. Church, workplace. Some of them do not know it. Some of them have snuffed out the life of God by sin. But many, many people quietly are following him and loving him. And he wants you to know his love and through you to extend his love to others. So if you refuse to forgive, the love of God is not in you. If you refuse to forgive. Now, you can make the decision to forgive and still have to battle a lot of feelings. It's okay. God will give you the grace. Sometimes those feelings and that kind of adversity shows you where your strength really is and that it is in him and not in yourself, because you can't change yourself. Try as you might, you can. But you make a decision. What forgiveness really is being able to say to somebody, I don't hold you in debt to me. You forgive. You forgive. You release that person from the debt. Hopefully they will respond with great graciousness. But even before they do, if you say, I choose to forgive you out of love for God, I choose to forgive you, that means you cancel that person's debt. It doesn't mean, well, I said it, but they better do this and they better do that. No, you cancel the debt. If the person really receives the forgiveness, they'll take care of the debt. Brothers and sisters, we really need to seriously look again at this area, because all of us carry around in ourselves jealousy, anger, bitterness at times, even hatred. We carry in ourselves a desire for revenge. maybe we don't want to exercise that revenge ourselves, but we hope something bad really happens to that person who has hated us or hurt us in some way. When you forgive, you give all that up. In other words, you lay down your weapons to fight your pain, and you let God fight the battle for you. But if you say, as John says, if you say, I love God, but you hate your brother, you will not forgive your brother, your sister, your cousin, your spouse, your friend. If you say you love God but hate your brother, you're a liar. For whoever does not love a brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. This is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. I have a booklet that many of you know called Captured by Mercy, where I saw the power of people's forgiveness and the fruit that came from it. That booklet's available to you, Captured by Mercy. Everyone believes that Jesus is the Christ, is begotten by God, and everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. In this way, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. Actually, brothers and sisters, it's always the paradox. Always. When you obey God's commandments, you don't come under a heavy load. You actually are set free. Because when you obey his commandments, you avoid sin. Oh, we all fall many times. But in any major way, you will grow to avoid sin because you will know that obeying his commandments leads you into a relationship with God himself. It's not just God's checklist. And then at the end of the time, you get your report card and pass and fail. What God does when you obey his commandments, especially the ones that are hard to, but when you obey them, God draws very near to you. He loves you as his son and daughter. And when he sees you following his way, he's proud of you. But it's not condescension. He loves you. And he rejoices because then he can be more seen and known and heard and loved through you. Everyone believes that Jesus is the Christ, is begotten by God. And everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. In this way, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. I believe, Lord, that you exist. I believe that you love me, that you created me, that you gave me your son, Jesus Christ, to redeem me and restore me to a relationship with you when I had fallen away through sin. I believe that you want me to share everlasting life with you. If you believe those things, then it's not burdensome. This is just the pathway. And it's a beautiful pathway because each time we move closer and closer to God, each time we say no to self and yes to him, he draws nearer to us. Your relationship begins to develop. It's not static. And in many people, their faith is as deep as it was in first grade or second grade. They've never grown. Oh, yeah, I'm Catholic. Yeah, I'm Christian. Yeah. But what does that mean? We're called by the scriptures to decrease that he may increase. We decrease when we say no to our own self-will, when we say no to the temptation to sin, when we say yes to the commandments of God. Whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. If that faith of who God is and what God has called you to is living in you, you will conquer the world. You'll conquer the world, the flesh, and the devil. He will conquer it in you and through you. But when we obey him, we become pliable. We become moldable or remoldable in his hands. We're changed. The family relationship is more and more clearly seen. It's true. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 to 22, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. So they all like him. He's nice. He's saying nice words. This is good. We like him. But he came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and he went, according to his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read, and he was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. In Jewish tradition, you sit when you're going to teach. And he sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. And he said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, "I am the fulfillment of this passage. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. I am the answer. This scripture is fulfilled today." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. There is a moment here of, oh my goodness, what wisdom, what insight. It is full of grace. They were awed and they listened. But oh, brothers and sisters, the scribes and the Pharisees didn't like that. The leaders of the people of Israel did not like that. Who do you think you are, saying that you're the fulfillment of the prophecies of long ago? Who do you think you are? There's a great battle develops. Isn't that the way it is today? We have moments when we see him clearly, when people respond, "Yes, I want to follow the Lord." But then they get tired, or something happens that is adversely affects them. And, I thought there was a God, but I don't know anymore. In other words, the moment passed. The moment of glory, the moment of revelation passes through some circumstance. And they just go back to the old way. You know, a friend of mine said, you know, it's glory be to God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we go back to our new life, and it's as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. More on that, brothers and sisters. More on that tomorrow. May God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.